Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning, and thank you, as always, Isaiah, for introducing the show, Home-Based Business 101, and good morning to you out there listening and listening audience land. We want to thank the 21,377 people that have tuned into a show here on Home-Based Business 101, helping make us the number one home-based business show here on Blog Talk Radio, and we really thank you, because this truly is listener-supported radio. And those 21,377 of you that have listened to a show, we really appreciate your support. Hey, you know, we're going to get ready to dive into our content this morning. We're doing winning again, and we'll be sharing excerpts from the book, The Psychology of Winning by Dennis Wheatley, and we will focus deeper into some of the chapters in this book. As you know, in his book, for those of you not familiar with the book, you can get the book at Barnes & Noble's through the free site that we give away, and buy the book and get cash back from purchasing the book from yourself. Again, you go on our landing page, and if you go to www.zamzufreeagent.com/movementsunlimited. You can sign up and get your free account like someone did the other night. And then if you want to purchase the book, you can purchase, go to Barnes & Noble's on that site and purchase the book from yourself. Okay, well, in the book, there are 10 chapters. Positive self-awareness, positive self-esteem, positive self-control, positive self-motivation, positive self-expectancy, positive self-image, positive self-direction, positive self-discipline, positive self-dimension, and positive self-projection. And we're going to do is we're going to look at some of those aspects of the book and go into some of the content from out of those chapters and focus on some things that he suggests that people, you know, get in tune with, and also, you know, some issues that deal with this whole thing of winning. And, you know, we need to define, you know, what is winning, and what is winning to you, and what is it that you're trying to win at. Now, I know a lot of people that are listening to this from a business perspective, you know, and looking to try to win in your business, but the other side is also looking at how to win in life. And when you want to win in life, then, you know, it becomes deeper than business. You know, and so it's important in the game of life that you come up with a definition of winning and determine once and for all that you'll play the game to win. Because life is a game. It is a game. And the thing is, that's what makes life fun. What makes life stressful is when we don't understand the game and try to do things, you know, like forcing a square peg into a round hole, you know, it just ain't going to fit. So, you know, don't do that to yourself. You know, and one of the deepest prayers that we all can learn is that serenity prayer. And I'll pull that up before it's over because I don't want to misquote that serenity prayer. But, you know, I know it basically centers around something like, you know, asking God to grant you the wisdom to, and to know the things that you can change and the things that you can't, to, you know, be able to have the peace of mind to know that, hey, don't keep hitting your head up against a wall that ain't going anywhere. But the things that you can change, then you definitely want to focus in and change. So when we dive into this book, I said, you know, winning is very, very important. And from a business point of view, I remember one of my mentors, Art Williams, he used to say the following, that you beat 50% of the people by showing up. So you're out there listening. If this is a business thing that you're working on, winning on, you beat 50% of the people by showing up. If it's, you know, hey, some other issues, you know, some family issues or some things that you want to deal with, well, you know, you'll beat 50% of the people in solving those problems by just showing up. You beat the other 40% by working hard. And that's 90% of the people. 50% by showing up. 40% by then, after you just showed up, work hard and diligently at whatever it is that you're trying to resolve or however you're trying to move forward. He said, in that last 10%, he said, that's just a plain out, you know, for lack of a better word, just a plain out dogfight, in other words. You know, he said, but the difference between winning and losing, he said, is so scary. He said, because it's that small. Because if you show up and you work hard, you're going to beat 90% of the people out there, people. And I mean, that's a good thing to know, that by showing up and working hard, that you'll beat 90% of folk who say they want to win at something. See, most people do not really, really pursue their dreams. Let's look at some qualities of winners out of the positive self-awareness chapter. He says, winners can look in the mirror and see what lies beyond their own eyes. You are a winner when you think, how you feel, and what you do are nearly consistent. Losers are unaware of what is happening or lie about it in their environments, unaware of the needs of others, unaware of their own personal involvement with life. Winners are sensitive. They are more tuned in and more tuned on than others around them. They don't need drugs or external stimulants to make life a happening. They are naturally turned on. And see, that's deep right there. See, you know, there was a song out a long time ago about being on a natural high. You know, and that's what winners are on. See, when you are focused on your life and enjoying life, you get on a natural high. You don't need, you know, to drop a pill or do this or do that to, you know, to get yourself motivated. You know, and that doesn't last long. Definitely doesn't last long when you're dealing with external stimulants to make life a happening, because when the external stimulant wears off, then you still got to make life a happening. So, you know, but winners don't, they're honest also. It says winners are honest, not just with other people's money or confidence. They're honest with themselves. Positive self-awareness is self-honesty. Winners are honest about their potential and honest about the time and effort necessary for top achievement. See, too often we embark on a course that says we want to succeed and win at something, whether, and again, there's a lot of people listening to this from a business point of view, but do you give your business time to work, and do you work your business? See, remember, your business is not like purchasing a lottery ticket and just hoping that one day I bought the ticket, you know, I spent the money on it, and one day it's going to hit, it's going to pay off. See, too often people will treat their business that way. They'll say, this business doesn't work. And, you know, one of the people who some of you probably heard of, Tom Big Al Schrader, who's a network marketing guru, he had a thing called Food for Thought. And he said one time he had a distributor come to him, and the distributor said, this damn business doesn't work. See, my new distributor was complaining, this damn business doesn't work. And my new distributor was right, the business doesn't work. So I had to tell the new distributor story. You look for the best car for you, and you purchase the car. Then you never learn how to drive your car. You never take driver lessons. You never go out driving with your parents. You never read the owner's manual. You don't know what the pedals are like on the floor or where to put the key into the ignition. You only made a few attempts at trial and error. You yell at your car and say, drive, 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 and your car didn't drive itself. So now you look for a network marketing business that is good for you. You purchase the business and you join. And see, a lot of you out there, a lot of people, they do this. They take step one. They purchase the business and they join. but they don't do step two. But you never learn how to make your business work. Okay, Art Williams, as I said, he said, first thing you do, you beat 50% of the people by showing up. You beat the other 40% by working hard. That's 90% of the people. If you fall into, you know, the top 10 of whatever it is that you're doing by beating 90% of the people, you're going to make some money, believe me. I know this industry. You will. He goes on to say, you only made a few attempts at trial and error. You said the wrong words to a few friends and two cold leads, and your business didn't build itself. Your business didn't work. You didn't come to Saturday trainings. You didn't do three-way calls with your sponsor. You didn't listen to training CDs. You didn't come with your spouse or when your sponsor went prospecting. You didn't learn how to give a one-minute presentation. You didn't learn super closing or any kind of closing. You didn't learn about the colors, the four different personalities, and how to talk to them. See, it's not no when you're out here trying to do your business, people. There's no one shoe fits all. There's no, I just say this to everybody, and when I say this to everybody, it's going to work on everybody. No, no, no. Dangerous. Don't do that. Don't do that. Again, you make sure you get the training that you need. And so one of the training is knowing the four different personality type colors. And we had on here, Ms. Regina Christian did a show, and you go back through the archives, on Home-Based Business 101, and she did a show around the different colors. I'm not going to go into all of that right now because I'm basically focusing on winning, but I want to finish this point about what people don't do when they complain something don't work. You didn't learn any effective icebreakers or openings. See, you just can't. You want to get somebody involved in the business that you're in, but you need to develop a relationship. That's why we call it relationship marketing. You just can't dive in and say, hey, I got this product. I know it's good for you. Come on, sign up and buy it. You gotta know how some icebreakers and openings and know how to develop a relationship with a person. You didn't learn to get the prospects to beg you for the presentation, not you begging them for the presentation. You didn't learn any effective first sentences. You didn't learn how prospects make decisions in their minds. See, no matter how great the product is that you have, the prospect still is in control. They make the decision. It's their money. You're trying to convince them to do something. You didn't learn how to get unlimited appointments. And believe me, this is really important. We teach people called the pipeline, how to fill up your pipeline. All of this has to do with winning. Because if you don't put enough in the pipeline, you don't have enough appointments in the pipeline, enough can't come out. So in other words, you still have to have unlimited appointments with people because some people are going to be interested, some people are not going to be interested, and so you move on to the next person, but you develop a relationship with someone, and when they say no, it just means no, not right now. It doesn't mean no forever because life changes. You didn't learn how to stop sounding like a sleazy salesperson. That's deep. Because, again, it says relationship marketing. You don't want to come off like some used car salesman who's just trying to get a car off the lot and get your money. I mean, people know, people don't like to be sold to, first of all, okay? So you really want to educate people. The best method is educating people about why your product or your business, it's a good opportunity. And then they determine if it's an opportunity that's good for them. You don't tell them, this would be great for you. I never say that to people. I always say, this might be something that you might be interested in. Again, you hear the word might. That way I leave room for opening that they can make their own decision and not that I'm trying to force them to make a decision. You didn't learn any of the sequence of words to communicate directly with prospects. You didn't learn how to use the difference between needs and wants. You didn't learn where and how to locate the best prospects. See, you got to find somebody that's looking for what you want. See, not you wanting for somebody what they don't want. It's like the business that I'm involved in, we're teaching people how to shop and save money online. A person that doesn't have a computer, doesn't have internet access, doesn't have a debit card, or not interested in getting a prepaid credit card, don't want to have nothing to do with buying anything on the internet, why would I be trying to prospect them? They're the wrong market. There's something that's called wrong market. It was like when they used to sell life insurance. The best candidates were people that were married, had children, had a job, and was buying a home. Why? Because they had insurable interests. People that didn't fit into that category, every time I tried to get them to buy a policy, it was push, give, and take. Because there was the wrong market. So you make sure you learn how to locate the best prospects. You didn't learn how to create a prospect. You didn't learn how to create prospects instantly on demand with effective sentences. See, that's where you're out and you're just out and about and you're a conversation specialist. As a conversation specialist, you just learn how to have natural conversations that lead into someone asking you, what do you do? See, that's the best way to have a conversation with someone. You're standing in the grocery store line and you're talking and you're just talking about life. And you ask them what they do and what's going to happen. They're going to turn around and they're going to ask you what you do. And then what you do when you and they respond to asking you what you do, you don't do a presentation. You give them some information, or as I say, you give them the sizzle without the steak. And you set up a time where you know that you have more time to go into depth with them. So, you know, these are some of the things that, you know, he talked about. It's a lot more in here, but I'm not going to go and tell them because I want to get back into the book. He says, but, you know, basically the person, you didn't learn how to stop blaming your business. The business doesn't work. You work. Don't blame the stupid prospects, the weather, the economy, the product price, and the compensation plan of your sponsor. If you want to drive the new car you purchased, learn to drive it. So for those of you out there that's listening, if you are listening to this and you're wanting to get some tips on how to win and be a winner and for your business, make sure that you learn how to drive your business, your new car, being able to move it about and make it happen for you. I want to move on now through this first chapter. He says, in review of positive self-awareness, he says, winners know who they are, what they believe, the role in life they are presently fulfilling, their great personal potential, and the future roles and goals which will mark fulfillment of their potential. They have learned these things and are constantly adding to their knowledge through experience, insight, feedback, and judgment. As a result, they continuously not only play for strength in the game of life, but also avoid errors and correct weaknesses. See, you got to know how to correct your errors, where you're weak in that, sharpen your skills, and move forward. He goes on to say, losers say, who knows what I could do if I only had a chance. Winners say, I know who I am, where I'm coming from, and where I'm going. See, the loser always looks at the other side and blames, goes through what we call the blame game. They blame somebody else for why something is not happening for them. Don't blame anybody but yourself. See, you have to do that. Mark Yarnell talks about, you know, avoiding people that cause you stress and negativity. He says some might be family members and you can't totally avoid them, but you need to draw some boundaries because people will dump a bunch of crap on you. And when they dump a bunch of crap on you, it's not them. I've learned to come to understand. It's not that particular person. It's that evil force in the universe. Some people refer to it as the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call it. I just call it the evil empire. You know what I mean? It's that evil force in the universe that is going to test you. See, it's going to test you when you read whatever, you know, faith you are. When you read through the Bible or you read through the Quran or you read through the Gita, you read about people going through tests and trials and tribulations. And then they're able to have a testimony. What makes you think that you're different? You're fighting. See, this whole thing, you're fighting not to be average and ordinary. The rest of the world has accepted being average and ordinary, because there's a power structure in place that teaches average and ordinary from kindergarten all the way through high school. So I got some serious issues. I know our children need to be educated, but I got some serious systems with, I call it the public fool system, because they got more people to come out fools than they have to come out being educated. And, you know, that's the topic for a whole nother show. But, I mean, the thing is that this emotion, things that are set in motion that make people grow up doubting themselves, not letting them see that they are part of a magnificent creation scheme. Again, regardless of what your religious outlook is, you know, that there's a divine being in this universe and we're connected to, who's given us a divine calling to respond to. And there's also an evil force in the universe that fights to keep us answering that calling. And so as a winner, you have to fight through that so that you don't get caught up on one side of life. You want to get caught up on the other side of life. He also, Dennis Wheatley says, love yourself, then give away all the love you feel today. See, this is so deep. You know, when I used to teach in seminary, and for those who don't know, yes, I taught in the seminary. I taught seminarians and helped prepare people to become priests. When I used to teach in the cemetery, in seminary, wow, that's a tongue-tied word there. But when I taught in the seminary, one of the things, you know, I used to teach one of the fundamental principles that I believe in the doctrine of Christianity, when it says love your neighbor like you love yourself. Well, you can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. How do you love yourself? See, God loves you and gave you the breath of life. How can you not love yourself? You are unique. As I tell the children I work with, there'll never be another you. So as he says in here in the Psychology of Winning, love yourself, then give away all the love you feel today. See, if people went around giving away true love, not just false love that people be dealing with, but give away true love, which is kindness, careness, concern, compassion, you know, really loving your neighbor like you love yourself, not doing anything to someone you wouldn't want anybody to do to you. See, that's the essence to me of what I used to teach and tell people, if you master that. And then the other one was, you know, hey, it says that we're supposed to live life and live life more. And people always fill in the clue. And some of you probably already have just then, more abundantly than why are we poor? We're poor because we choose to be poor. Now, that's a deep one. People are going to get mad at me saying that. We're poor because we choose to poor. All we have to do is develop a winning strategy not to be poor. Or that don't mean you're going to have instant success. But if you work at it, you can change that phenomenon. In the chapter on positive self-esteem, he says, you know, the following is that it's so important for people to become, you know, in tune to their self-esteem, their self-worth. He said, dress and look your best at all times, regardless of pressure from your friends and peers. Personal grooming and lifestyle appearance provide an instant projection on the surface of how you feel inside about yourself. And a lot of times when I'm going places, you know, especially where I live here in Rocky Mount, the way I walk, people, they'll stop me. You're not from here. See, I don't walk looking down at the ground with my head buried in the sand. You know, I'm out and about, and I walk. I have a brisk walk. I'm up, you know, I'm excited, I'm happy. If I meet somebody, I vigorously shake their hand. How you doing today? You know why? You might not never meet that person again in life, you know, but being able to share some good news with them. How you doing today? Great. You know, and it's not for me, it's not a fake greeting. I mean, I actually genuinely, that's how I greet people, because I'm excited about life. He goes on to say, winners have a deep-down feeling of their own worth. They know that contrary to popular belief, this feeling of self-acceptance is deserving and not necessarily a legacy from wise and loving parents. History is full of saints who rose from the gutters and literally monsters who grew up in loving families. See, you can provide the greatest nourishment in everything in your family for your child, and your child could turn out to be a monster. You could be in a situation where you don't have anything, and it seems like there's a whole lot of problems, and the child grow up to be a saint. I've seen people in my own family, and again, I'm not calling out names because I don't, you know, I ain't about that. But I've seen relatives who grew up in a house with drug addicts and never touched drugs in their life. Just a blessing. I mean, never, and grew up to have a functional life where the people before him, two generations, were drug addicts. And how he got to be with another family member and being able to live with them was because that family member eventually had the police come in and bust the house. But this particular child, he grew up in an environment that was like no love, just people high all the time, and he grew up in that environment to have what some people would call a remarkable life. And so you can have loving parents. You can have wise parents. But sometimes, you know, our children just rebel. And hopefully, you know, those that do, hopefully they find themselves later. Loser self-talk is, I'd rather be somebody else. Winner self-talk is, I do things well because I'm that kind of person. See, and some people refer to that as being cocky or arrogant. You know, I've had people tell me, you know, you're arrogant. I'm not arrogant. I just believe in myself. You know, there's a difference between arrogance and believing in oneself. I mean, you know, there's people that say that, why you feel so good about yourself? As I said on the last show, you know, that's one of the things that we teach the children. You know, we teach them, hey, I feel good about myself. I feel good about the people around me. Hopefully you can honestly say that, because if you don't feel good about yourself and you don't feel good about the people around you, you're in trouble. You know, you're in serious trouble. Not only do I feel good about myself and I feel good about the people around me, the next part, I feel goodness all around me, and it will follow me for the rest of my life. See, you have to feel goodness around you. And we go on and say, why? Because I walk with good. See, you got to have good people in your company. And I talk with good. I don't, again, when people was talking about on this one blog, and people was talking about domestic violence, you know, I was saying, well, one of the things is, for me, I don't let people, other men, be around me and talk about kicking some woman's butt. You know, I say, yo, hey, bro, you need to chill on that, man. You got a problem. You know, you got a serious problem. You feel like hitting on somebody? Hey, hit on me, because I'm going to swing at your back. See, and I found, and it seemed though this is a side note, I found that most men that beat up on women will never lay a finger on another man. That's just something that I found out there for those of those people that's chiming in, and, you know, you might have some show or something you want to do on domestic violence at some point in time, is that this is a true fact that I have found out over time. And so, again, when you say I walk with good and I talk with good, you know, I don't get involved in negative conversations with people, because that's a waste of my energy. It is a waste of time. It's not healthy, and I don't care to be in unhealthy situations where I have people who just, you know, doing ignorant stuff and saying ignorant things out of their mouth. You know, you are, as my grandmother used to say, my grandmother used to have this saying where she said, show me your friends and I'll show you your life. See, show me your friends and I'll show you your life. And I said, I used to look at her and say, Grandma, what are you talking about? Show me your friends and I'll show you your life. She said, because you are the company that you keep. And so for winners, You know, it's very important that, you know, that we have that positive self-attitude, that positive self-esteem. Sit up, you know, if you go to a seminar or something, see, don't sit in the back. You know what winners do? Sit up front in the most prominent roles when you attend meetings, lectures, and conferences. Your purpose for going is to listen, learn, and possibly exchange questions and answers with the key speakers. Losers always sit in the back. They say, man, you know, that's great for those people. And you can hear it when they say it out of their mouth. That's great for those people. I could never do that. Well, you know, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. The loser will always find, as Art Williams used to say, the loser will always find a way to lose. He goes on to say the following. Losers live in a classic style in the Neverland called Someday I'll. Winners live each day as if it's their last, not in the future nor in the past, and someday becomes now. One of the things, again, when I used to work with Father A.J. McKnight, again, when I was teaching in the seminary, Father McKnight, he wouldn't let us sing We Shall Overcome Someday. We had to change the words to that song, We Shall Overcome Today. He used to always talk about now time. See, the most important time is now time. The time that those of you that are listening to this right now, this is the most important time, now time. See, too many people dwell in the past. Well, you know, in the past I had, well, in the past, you know, this was going on for me. Then you got other people dwelling in the future. One day my ship's going to come in. One day I'm going to have, you know, and I used to tell my grandma, one day I'ma. She said, she would cut me off. She said, I'ma. She said, you know what? She said, I'm going to tell you about that girl called Irma, boy. That girl called Irma said she just never seemed to show up. She never just seemed to get here. She said, so don't be focusing on what you're going to have. What do you have right now and build upon that? And that'll lead to what you want to have and what you will have because you got to deal with the hand that's in front of you right now, this very moment, now time. Nothing's more precious than the time that's unfolding in front of you right now. Right now. Now time is so important. But too many people, losers, they focus and spend a lot of time and energy on the past, living in a pastime paradise that Stevie Wonder sings a song about, or focusing way off into the distant future. See, because that doesn't require action. See, to deal with now time requires action steps. You have to make a choice and do something about now. See, the past, you can just talk about what you used to have, but it doesn't do you any good right now. The future, yeah, you might have what you want in the future, but it's not helping you with what you need to do right now. You know, you might have a light bill to pay this week, and you might say, well, you know, 2 months from now, I'll have such and such. You know, well, the people at the gas and electric company, they want to know how you're going to pay that bill now. And you better come up with a strategy for how you're going to deal with it right now as opposed to how you're going to deal with it 2 months from now or 6 months from now. And the same is with your life. What are you going to do about your goals, your future, and what you want to do right now? Chapter 3, Positive Self-Control. And, you know, we went over a little bit this morning because we're doing this show. We're doing a 45-minute piece this morning. So we've got about 11 minutes left. I'm trying to get through a couple more of these chapters. And glad to see we have a few people in the chat room. Sirius wants to know is in the chat room. Ruth's in the chat room. And I appreciate your comments. Sirius, they say you strongly agree. Yes, it is important for people to focus on now time, the here and now. You know, hey, I think my man Luther had a song about called Here Now, right? Yeah, right. I miss Luther so much. That was one of my artists that I really loved. Positive self-control. Winners say, I will make it happen for me. Losers say, it always happens to me. See, loser always, when something goes wrong, say, this always happens to me. Well, why? See, the thing is this, people. You know, everybody should out there should know the definition of insanity. The definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. If something didn't work and it hasn't been working and you tried it several times, maybe you should think of a new way to do it so you can get some different results. Now, that can be painstaking because we get stuck into habits. And it usually takes 3 weeks, 21 days to change a habit, doing something different, 21 days before you can unbreak an old habit that you're trying to get rid of, you're trying to shake. That's why they say with people, when they go on a diet, the first 21 days are key and critical. If you can get through them first 21 days and stick to it, you got a chance of making it work. Winners take full responsibility for determining their actions in their own lives. They believe in cause and effect and have the philosophy that life is a do-it-to-yourself program. Self-control implies freedom for individuals to choose among many alternatives and to shape their own destinies. Many people believe that fate, luck, or possibly the astrological sign have shaped the outcome of their lives. These people who feel that life is mostly determined by circumstances, predestination, or being at the right place at the right time are more likely to give in to doubt and fear. People who are aware that they exert control over what happens to them in life are happy and are able to choose more appropriate responses to whatever occurs. See, we, you know, the bottom line, again, the choice is ours. The choice is ours. We make the choice for what happens in our life. If you surround yourself with a bunch of disillusioned, negative people, then that's what the choice you've made, and that's what you're going to have in your life, and that's what they're going to want to talk about. See, you know, again, goals are important. I remember in 1986 when I met with a group of associates who I hadn't seen in a long time because I had lived in New Orleans, had been away, moved back to Baltimore, and I shared with, you know, some brothers I hadn't seen in a long time, you know, set of goals that I had. And I never forget the response that I got from people, and I had to cut those people loose if I wanted to achieve my goals. You know, my goal was, one, since I had been away for, you know, over like 13 years and not really being, you know, in distance where I was able to see my mother and father on a regular basis and my sisters. I wanted to spend some time with my family, and I'm glad I was able to do that at the time when I did, back in 1986. Two was I wanted to build a business. And three, I knew I wanted to have a wife. Now, my associates that I met with at that time, who I grew up with and went to school with, hadn't seen in a while, you know, back in the old neighborhood, they was like, man, the first two is fine, but what you want a wife for? You know, their thing was like, bro, look, we need to hip you. You want a wife, man. Scratch that one. I was like, no. I said, that's very, very important. I said, I need a wife so I can have balance in my life and have harmony in my life. I said, I didn't try the girlfriend thing. I said, that ain't worked out. You know, it just ain't worked out. And maybe for some of y'all that might work. I said, but I see that there's problems and there's problematic things that occur when people just be together as girlfriend and boyfriend. That's all right when you're teenagers. When you become adults, you know, either you're going to make a commitment to somebody and they're going to make a commitment to you, or y'all need to leave each other alone. That's just my gut feeling around that. But anyway, my point is that the people were trying to influence me to change my goals. I knew that if I hung around those people, that, you know, their negative chatter would have a negative impact on me. So I cut them loose. Because I didn't want to hear what they were saying. And see, that's difficult for a lot of times for us out there to cut people loose when you don't want to hear what they're saying. Especially if you're thinking positive and they're saying something negative. Now, I mean, it can work the reverse way too. If you got people that are saying something positive and you being negative, you know, then, you know, maybe they won't cut you loose. But I'm just saying, if you really focusing on something that's important to you and that's positive, and you know deep down inside it's good. As again, remember I said, that fundamental principle I used to teach in the seminary, love your neighbor like you love yourself. You don't want nothing imposed on anybody. You want imposed on you. So, I mean, that, to me, that's why I don't know how these people do some of the weird stuff that they do, and they be up in church all Sunday jumping up and down and shouting and come out and treat people like crap. But that's a topic for another show. But the main thing is that, you know, the company that you keep is important, and so that helps you with your positive self-control. He says, take the blame and the credits for your position in life honestly and openly. So if things are not quite going the way you want them to go right now, you need to ask yourself why, and, you know, and take your time and critique what's going on. Say, carry the affirmative motive with you. My rewards in life will reflect my service and contribution with you in your daily transcription. In other words, see, you got to, one of the things is that if you want to be successful, you got to be able to know how to be of service and contribution to humankind. See, that's a difficult one for some of us because we've been taught not to care about people. And when you're taught not to care about people, then you don't want to be nice and be kind to people. You know, I've had situations in previous business where, you know, people always say the customer is right. You know, well, the customer at times was wrong, but I gave them their money back. You know, I could have kept the money and said, you know, hey, you know, bump that. You know, it says right here. I gave them the money back. See, that way, no matter what else they ever said about me, whatever lie they wanted to tell somebody, the person said, and he gave you your money back? See, if I kept the money, then that would, even though they was wrong and they was lying, it would, to them, they would have confirmed that they was right. Giving them their money back, they didn't know how to handle that. It threw them off course. It was like, I said, okay, hey, fine, no problem here. Here's your money back. You know why? Because one person can't break you. And people say, well, you know, you gave them their money back. And you didn't have to do that. No, I didn't have to do that. I did it so that I was making also a statement. I don't agree with you. You're wrong. You're out of order. But you know what? You feel that strongly about it? Here's your daggone money back. You take it, and God bless you. And they would look like, I don't believe he, you know, one lady was like, because they wasn't expecting that. Because anywhere else they go, they know they wasn't going to get their money back. See, but it was like, hey, this is Baba Jahi. I do things different. Okay, hey, we're wrapping up, and I want to leave you with this quote, and I really thank those that tuned in this morning with me as we went a little over our time. And this is from The Stranger's Secret by Earl Nightingale. He says, we become what we think about most of the time. And people, that's what I want you to carry with you from today's show. We become what we think about most of the time. If you think you're a winner, you'll find a way to become one. If you think you're a loser, you'll find a way to become one. We become what we think about most of the time. Hey, until next time, it's been Baba Jahi on Home-Based Business 101, and it's been a pleasure to have you as part of my listening audience this morning. And as you know, we close out each of our shows with our theme song. And our theme song is called It's My Time. So, hey, it's my time, it's your time, it's our time. Make every day your time. God bless you and continue to win in life. Up.
We hope you enjoyed the Success Songs original composition. For music and words that create powerful moments in your day, go to successsongs.com and hear life from a higher vibration.